This is a Haunted Attraction Network production. Achieve more with all our products at www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com.
On today's segment of Haunting the Globe, we're heading over to Anaheim, California, and speaking with attraction designer John Cook. Among other things, John is responsible for the mazes during Knott's Scary Farm, the annual Halloween event held at Knott's Berry Farm. John took me on a tour of the facilities, the production offices, and even some of the mazes, which, between you and I, are quite the treat. We sat down in one of the Knott's sound studios and discussed many things, from this year's haunts to John's history starting in the industry and the responsibilities and processes of an attraction designer. Whew! This interview is packed with delights, but before we roll the theme music, I need to give some love to our show sponsor, Gantam Live, and their real-life zombie infection game, Z-Tag.
It was intense.
When the apocalypse comes.
When I was running, it completely dodged an entire crowd of nine.
Will you survive?
You gotta act quickly.
Z-Tag brings the undead to life.
If you take your time, it's gonna be too late.
In a real-world challenge.
Next thing you know, you turn around, there's zombies.
Of speed, agility, and survival.
This is an awesome birthday.
It's zombies against humans. Hashtag play Z-Tag.
Thanks again to our sponsor, Z-Tag, for making this episode possible. Now on to the show.
This is Haunting the Globe. Short but intense interviews from haunted attractions around the world.
Hey, this is John Cook with Knott's Scary Farm. I am an attraction designer focusing on Knott's Scary Farm. I started here 11 years ago just as a scare actor in the mazes. Got into the production side of it, doing carpentry, set dressing, prop fabrication, and now hold a full-time position as an attraction designer, focusing on the mazes, but as well as other park elements like our stage shows, our stunt shows, dark rides, everything.
John, can you unpack for us what exactly an attraction designer does?
As an attraction designer, I am responsible for imagining whatever this attraction is going to be and then seeing it through to its full realization. So I start with just an idea, a theme, a concept, whatever it may be. And then as I'm developing, coming up with how to technically pull this off, with kind of laying out the ground plans, the build elevations, the paint renderings, coming up with the characters, coming up with the wardrobe for the characters, and then also staffing these attractions, training all the actors, and then for the run while Scary Farm is open, I'm overseeing the attraction and making sure that everything is running smoothly. So it's kind of a Swiss Army knife of a job, doing a little bit of everything.
It definitely sounds like you need a little bit of experience in kind of all of the classic theatrical fields, as well as stage management and et cetera. Before you did Knott's, what was your experience?
I actually had zero previous experience. That is correct. You probably should have experience in many of these different fields, but I'm kind of homegrown here. I learned everything by being and working this event, just being at the event, seeing how everything works. Working as a carpenter helped me with, you know, the build elevations and the ground plans, and then in prop fabrication and set dressing, you kind of learn a little bit more of how to make a maze feel real and immersive. Just kind of by soaking everything in around me, going to all these different events, you just kind of learn along the way and pick up different things and see how to apply them as a designer.
Before we unpack a little bit of your history and get a little bit more into the technical side of things, I'm sure everyone listening is wondering, what can you tell us about Knott's Scary Farm this year?
So all I can talk about is what we have announced up to date, being a couple returning mazes and a couple new things. We have announced Paranormal Inc., which was my baby last year. That was my big project last year. And that is the stunt theatric-driven attraction where we bring groups in 50, 60 at a time, and we have this massive show. And by the end of the show, the entire room has been naturally divided to go into two different paths throughout a maze. We also have just announced all new key room experiences. And for those who do not know what the key rooms are, it's kind of tacked on to our priority access upcharge, where you get a skeleton key and these unlock different rooms around the park. And these tend to be highly interactive, highly immersive. We put a lot of cutting edge technology into these things this year. That includes some IR, Gantam controlled lanterns. We're using augmented reality. We're using just our over the top advanced show control systems to really bring these crazy experiences to life. So the latest big announcement that we made was a new imagining of our zombie apocalypse laser tag game that we had before. It was called Special Ops Infected. It was a big 6-acre experience. We had over 100 zombies where we'd give guests laser tag guns and we'd send them through this course on these missions to solve different puzzles and complete missions and fend off all these attacking hordes of zombies. Well, what we did is we took that idea and we thought to ourselves, what's the next evolution? What's the next step with this whole thing? The end goal for us with this is a video game. We want this thing to feel like a first-person shooter zombie apocalypse video game. And for us, that means taking it out of our 6 acres of Camp Snoopy, bringing it backstage where we can fully build a set. So we're building an entire city that the guests are going to be moving through. And then we also have added in interactive elements where you shoot certain things and the environment will react. You know, things will explode or bodies will fall, or, you know, we're using video maps to make it look like you're actually, you know, getting blood splats off the zombies and stuff. So with the new branding, it's called Black Ops Infected, and it's a more close quarter combat type experience where in the large open landscape of Camp Snoopy, it was kind of more spread out. This is very tight and confined, moving through inner city, basically.
Well, that all sounds very exciting. Let's take a step back now. And you mentioned that 11 years ago, you started off as a scare actor. Walk me through your first day at Knott's as a scare actor.
So that was 2005. I had only been to the event a couple times before that, and I didn't really know what to expect. What's really cool about being a guest and not really knowing anything about haunted attractions, it has this cool, unique, almost magic to it. You know, it's like out of nowhere, the sun goes down and all these monsters come out, and it's this really cool thing. So getting to see the other side, I was just blown away with. I remember walking by our cafeteria and you'd see all these monsters in full costume and full makeup sitting there eating cheeseburgers and fries and stuff. And it was like a really cool, like Monsters, Inc. feel almost. And then I went and got my costume. I got my horrible latex mask that I could barely see out of. And I remember going into the maze and the first couple groups just having zero idea what to do. And then you kind of, you know, you start to get the hang of it and you kind of realize, you know, what movements to use and what sounds to make and to get these desired reactions. And then once those reactions started to come, you're hooked, you're addicted to scaring. And it was all history from there. I couldn't, you know, that first day ended. I remember feeling like I got hit by a bus the next morning, waking up, but I couldn't wait to get back and get back into my maze.
So that experience kind of paved the road for you to become a haunter. And you mentioned, though, that you weren't full-time at the beginning at all. Did you do anything else in the haunt community after you started this scare acting experience?
I did not. And to be honest, at Knott's being such a massive event, we kind of get almost sometimes like stuck in our little world. And it took a while. It took a couple of years before I really started to learn about the rest of the industry and the rest of these independent attractions that are doing such amazing things. And in Southern California at the time, we had other big events that started popping up. So really started to kind of go out and explore. And the more I got out, more I went to trade shows, more I went to other events, I still really, really started to figure out that this is where I wanted to have my career. And the first couple of years I just loved being in the mazes. The rest of the year I was off doing other odd end jobs and whatnot. I was just doing this seasonal just for fun, you know, for the first 6 years that I did it.
Moving forward a little bit, talk to us about the first experience that you helped design.
I had the wild idea of Special Ops Infected. At that time, I had zero design experience. I had never designed anything. I had never touched any of the programs. Didn't know Photoshop. I didn't know anything, but I had this idea. And it was an idea that I shared with our director at the time here, and she loved it. She said, let's do it. I owe a lot of a credit to her. Her name's Laura Hanneman. She brought me in. She saw something in me that I didn't see. She put a lot of faith in me that year. That was the big thing for Not Scary Farm that year. And she kind of guided me through that. So I guess I never had a chance to get my feet wet. It's more just pushed in. You're either going to sink or swim. But, you know, I spent a lot of time just sitting there at the desk and learned the different drafting programs and Photoshop, and kind of had a lot of people around me, you know, teaching me as I was going. And I was able to pull it off, and it was a success. But I definitely learned a lot of things along the way. And it's also once it was open. And that's the thing with that attraction, with it being like the first of its kind and such a massive experience, I think it's going to be an ever-evolving thing. We're always going to be learning. We're always going to be adapting. I think that's going to be my career. I always want to keep pushing boundaries, and I think I'm always going to be learning as I go.
So you mentioned being thrust into this creative process to go from an idea to a finished product. Define your creative process and how it has changed over the years.
It's still a relatively new process to me. This is only my third year in design. I'm still learning what works best, but I really like to immerse myself in the Halloween season. So a lot of times during October, I'll just kind of let go and really get wrapped up in the season and everything that comes along with it, and the traditions and the different haunts and different movies that are coming out. I notice around that time is when I'm starting to gather all of my ideas and concepts for the year. My goal is by Halloween to have my next year's attractions laid out, or at least a good idea, and then immediately start getting into them. So I'm kind of coming off of the high of the season, I guess. And then my goal is by Transworld to have all of my designs done, everything done by then. So that way we can go right into Transworld and start making orders, and then coming home and then starting to kind of scour the earth for the rest of the, you know, the items that we need. And it makes our build process a little smoother. It gives the carpenters more time with the plans. So I guess that's kind of my game plan. By the end of Halloween, have the ideas. By Transworld in March, have everything wrapped up, and then right into March, we can start getting into the process.
Can you discuss a little more in depth about your build process, and specifically the ratio of pieces that are bought versus pieces that are made, and what exactly you produce in-house?
The build process all starts on paper, obviously. We come up with our grand plans, our elevations. We make a lot of lists, a lot of props lists, things that we're going to purchase, things that we want to make, things that we already have in-house. All the paint renderings, we give them complete renderings of what the room's supposed to look like. We try to do storyboards for every single room so that we're trying to take out a lot of miscommunication between the creative and the people that are actually putting it together. And, you know, there's a lot of things that evolve once the other departments get into the mix. You know, a lot of people come together with their own ideas. And we're really good about that, working together and really kind of being a team creating this stuff. We try to create as much as possible in-house, so that way when people come through Amaze at Not Scary Farm, they're getting a one-of-a-kind experience. You're not going to see something here that you're going to see somewhere else. But we do purchase some effects and props and stuff, but we always make a big effort to really change those or repaint them or do something. But I would say probably 90% of what we do is in-house. All of our sets are built in-house from scratch. A lot of the props are sculpted, molded, casted, painted, animated, all in-house. We have an effects department that comes in and builds all our crazy monsters and all of our lighting and show controls and all that is also done as well by our own team. They come in and program it all. We have some great minds that they all work together with all the different departments, with audio, lighting, you know, video, all come together to make sure all of our show controls are all integrated together. So we have one button that we press and then the whole show will loop.
How many people are on this team, and what are their specific roles to take you through the build process?
For production, the people actually behind the scenes building the mazes, it breaks down into carpentry, props, lighting, special effects, paint, audio, and video. Between all those departments, it breaks down into different numbers. I think we have about 40 carpenters, 30 painters. There's 20 people in the props department. So I'd say we have well over 100 on staff production crew members building and creating all these mazes. And then when we get into Haunt, the actual event, then we bring in the cast leads and the talent captains and the time card coordinators that are kind of running the mazes. But then also can't forget to mention the 1,000 monsters that we bring in, the 1,000 actors that come in and populate the entire theme park.
That's a lot of monsters. You mentioned that the first step in this process is immersing yourself in Halloween. Two questions. What does Halloween mean to you? And how specifically do you immerse yourself?
I don't even know how to begin to explain what I think Halloween means to me. I love anything pumpkin. I hate to admit it, but I will be the first one at Starbucks getting my pumpkin spice latte. Literally everything the season has to offer. We decorate the house. We decorate our porch. We carve pumpkins. We go to pumpkin patches, go through the corn mazes and hay mazes, watch every Halloween special on TV that there is, any new and old horror movies that are coming out. Quick as it comes, the holiday is gone far too quick. And then we are back plotting and waiting for next year.
So would it be fair to say that at your core, you're a Halloween fanboy?
It's very, very safe to say that I am a Halloween fanboy. Absolutely.
Define what makes a maze immersive to you.
What I'm trying to do as a designer is, first, even if it's a split second, get people to forget they're in a theme park and buy in to whatever setting I want them to buy into. We go to great lengths to try and accomplish this with our creation of the sets, with our extra attention to detail, with the props, our lighting design. Everything, the entire end goal is for people to just forget they're in a warehouse or they're, you know, inside of a building in Camp Snoopy. And I know there are many levels of these immersive attractions, some a little bit more on the extreme side. And I think they are a lot faster at getting you to forget where you are and start, you know, thinking about maybe you're in some trouble. Here at Knott's, that's not our goal. That's great. There's something out there for everyone. And for us, we are just trying to accomplish the immersive attraction through art and through creating quality attractions.
That's a great definition. But at the end of the day, how do you measure whether or not you're able to make somebody forget where they are?
Well, I think everybody is going to have a different reaction. I think there's, like I said, there's something out there for everyone. I'm not trying to measure the success of a maze based on a scale like that. All I'm doing is doing everything that I can on my end to create the best possible product. And as long as I can go to sleep at the end of the night knowing that I put everything I had into this, I rallied the troops, pulled the team together. We had a great time creating this content. And then at the end of the day, if we can stand outside of the maze and watch people come out smiling, having a good time, then our mission is complete.
As someone who has gone from working as a temporary scare actor all the way up to an attraction designer for one of the largest venues in the country, give us 3 recommendations to someone who's trying to succeed in the haunted attraction industry.
My first recommendation is don't be afraid of failure. If you believe in something, if you believe you can do something or have a certain passion for something, but maybe don't possess the appropriate skills, just go for it and you'll never know what's going to happen. For me, every mistake I've made or anything that I tried that didn't work, something has come from that. And I've always been able to grow and grow and grow just by going and trying different things. Second recommendation, a lot of people ask me, you know, where I went to school or, you know, what courses I took or if I, you know, took art classes in high school or anything. No, I didn't do anything other than got involved with this haunt. And that would be my recommendation, is find out a local haunt and just get involved at any capacity, whether it's a scare actor, or helping behind the scenes, or, you know, volunteering for the art department or whatever it may be. But just get involved. And like I said, things will kind of snowball from there. Number 3 is just get involved with everything that's out there, with all the different conventions and panels that are going on. Just go out and meet people and network. There's a lot of people that you can learn from that are out there. So if you have a passion for this industry, just look into it. That's something I really wish that I would have found out earlier on, is that this is a great giant network of amazing people. And there's a lot of people that you can really reach out to and learn from, and they will help you grow. And that's what this industry to me is all about, especially here at Not Scary Farm. We're all a goofy collection of individuals that have come together to work on all these fun haunted attractions.
You mentioned that in your career, you started off as basically a temporary employee for set, and you did some odd jobs. Clearly, you were driven by a passion to eventually be where you are now. What have you sacrificed for this career?
The sacrifices and the rewards are kind of hand in hand. I was in a metal band that was traveling and singing the world and doing all the stuff. But that was something that I decided to take a step back from, so that way I could settle down here in Southern California and pursue the haunted attraction career that I have chosen. This job is very demanding. I don't think if you don't have the passion and the drive, this is definitely not the career for you. And one of those things is becoming obsessed with the projects that you're working on. I'll get home from work and I'll just be in a blank stare because my mind is going a million miles an hour of all the things that all the thoughts and ideas I'm trying to collect and organize. And, you know, I'm sure that gets a little taxing on the family at home. Like I said, this, especially here at Knott's, we are a family, and I have a lot of great friends here. A lot of my friends I hang out with every day all work here together. So that's kind of the rewarding side of it, is that we're all in this together in a sense.
As an attraction designer for Knott's, have the design constraints ever stopped you from doing something that you wanted to do?
The constraints have never stopped me from doing a project that I wanted to do. We have definitely had to modify and adjust to whatever the circumstances may be, whether it is the throughput or if it's a safety concern. We have had to adapt and overcome certain things. Luckily at Knott's, our management and the people, the driving force behind this event, they want to continue to push boundaries. They want to be able to say they were the first to do this or do that. So luckily we do have a very supportive team here behind us as the designers, but I don't think creatively I've ever been had to not do something because of the circumstances of being a theme park.
What about constraints in terms of thematic elements? Are there themes that you would like to try but couldn't because of an audience?
Being a theme park and having visitors from all over the world, a hodgepodge of all different people, we do have to walk a certain line, and we are conscious and try to be tasteful about what we are doing, but still pushing the boundaries and being an extreme Halloween event. Just the ways we're doing it, I think is we're having to put a different spin on it, being a little bit more creative to keep pushing the boundaries, where we look to, instead of looking for shock value or anything like that, we're looking to innovation and how we can keep pushing with technology. For a major theme park and a major attraction that has such a high volume throughput, we have to be very strategic, careful, and put a lot of time when we're laying out these attractions. We have a lot of rules, especially being in Southern California, a lot of codes and rules that we have to abide by. So when we're putting together our ground plans, we need to make sure every single thing is there. Everything that we do is for a purpose. It has a reason. Nothing is an afterthought. It's spent a lot of time going through to make sure everything is there. All of our emergency exits, all of our emergency e-stop systems, in case of any kind of emergency, everything is done.
John, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. Is there anything you'd like to add before we sign off?
I think we covered a lot of good stuff here. I want to, you know, thank you, Philip, for taking the time to do this interview. And thank you, everybody, for listening to this. Come visit us down at here at the farm. And happy Halloween.
Haunting the Globe is hosted by me, Philip Hernandez. The show is produced by the Haunted Attraction Network. Today's episode was edited and mixed by Mike Migas. Chris Thomas wrote and performed our theme song. Additional music and vocals from Music Radio Creative. Today's sponsor was Gantam Live and ZTAG. Learn more at www.ztag.com or by finding them on social at PlayZTAG. Folks, if you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing and leaving us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcaster app. Those reviews help us tremendously. If you leave a review, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, and we can thank you personally. All right. Thanks for listening, and until next time, stay scary.